Yeah.
I gotta say, like, I know since Ray's dad is who he is, we're gonna see Ray's dad more often. But I thought we'd see a lot more missions.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I am your host, Sinji. With me, my co-host, as always, Herbe.
What's up?
What's going on, Herbie?
Not much. How are the people doing? Who are the people doing nice today?
I'm sure the people are doing fine. Just fine.
It could be. Who knows?
Like my radio voice?
Yeah.
Nice. Flavor of the week. You got one?
No, I don't. I guess lately, it was just the bungo stuff. Yeah, very demon-like. I forget the board name, but the detective with no gifts. He's pretty cool. Oh no, he's kind of crazy.
Oh, Rompo? No,
it's... yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, Rompo's dope.
Yeah, and they just all of them just got framed for killing folks. I'm like, man, that's terrible.
Okay, so you're in season four.
Yeah, that's what the people say.
Yeah.
Yeah, your flavor, though.
I don't know if I have one.
Well, you better find out.
No, I don't. I don't think I have one.
Dang.
Nothing was just like, flavor. Oh, shit, to me. You know what I mean? It was just like, or super hilarious to me. It was just like, everything. I've enjoyed some things I read and watched, but nothing was just like, ooh, that's it. That's the flavor. That's the moment of the week. But today's the 20th.
Yeah.
That means... Ew. No, it won't be this Sunday. Okay, never mind.
Boruto doesn't come out for another month.
No, not that. I was gonna say, we're getting close to that Gear 5 animation. They apparently have like so many fucking animators on it, like famous animators. They've been working on this episode almost like for around 7 months. To do it right. They got like the DBZ animators, this blah blah blah, this sound effects. It's supposed to be really dope. Yeah. I can't wait to watch it on YouTube because, you know, my girl Sammy is with permission hogging up my Crunchyroll account. So I haven't been.
Why you just make a sub Crunchyroll account?
You can make a sub account?
Yeah, you ain't know that.
No, I didn't know that. What the hell I know that? You could do that? First of all, I thought you didn't have Crunchyroll.
How do you think I'd be watching this stuff?
I don't fucking know, dog.
Yeah.
Funimation.
No, after the merger, I just went to Crunchyroll because that's where all the new stuff was coming out.
Yeah, I went to Crunchyroll too. Do you have Netflix?
I do.
Oh, so I can start picking like some Netflix bangers if there were any.
If they're in English.
What do you mean if they're in English? You won't get these subs.
I don't do subs on Netflix.
What?
Dog.
If Deep Insanity doesn't impress me in the third episode, I might kick it for Ragnarok. Records of Ragnarok. Did you already watch that?
You know what that is.
Okay, you don't know what it is. Alright, cool. It's on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix original. I've been meaning to watch it.
Very interesting.
I might kick it.
Kick it like karate?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because like Deep Insanity, it's not bad. I don't want to make it seem like it's bad, but like it seems like one of those, the first episode is as good as it gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like it's not going to get any better. It might, it could get worse and like get back to where the first episode was, but like you're never gonna see anything more than what you already saw. And I was just like, I don't want to watch something that's not gonna be better than the first episode for 12 weeks.
Yeah,
I'd rather just that's something I'd rather enjoy right away. I'm like, okay, put it on while I'm playing something, just listen to it. Okay, that was a cool anime to watch, and then like let that be it. Yo, did you see, we're gonna get into the topics pretty soon, but did you see the new episodes of Kenshin came out? Well, the remastered ones.
I did not see they came out.
Yeah, they came out. I was thinking about watching it, but like considering we watched it not too long ago during
Reddit.
I didn't read it.
Oh no, Kenshin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason I was thinking about Demon Slayer. I was like, yeah. But yeah, no.
Yeah. But what are we talking about first?
I guess we can spark it up with some buddy daddies first, and then do some what is that? That crazy one with the underground, Deep Insanity.
Deep Insanity, yeah.
Yeah, followed by Aristocrats, and then finish off with some Vinland.
Bro, Aristocrats, bro. Like, it's
killing me.
I was just like,
I'm like, when are you getting good?
Just get me to the good part. What are we doing here? This motherfucker's OP, and we're not even using it.
Yeah,
It's not even like tired of the OP trope. It's like this motherfucker's OP for nothing.
Yeah. So, all right, Buddy Daddies, Season 1, Episode 9. No sweet without sweat, baby. It starts off with my girl, Mirei. She is training for a race for her school field day.
Field day?
Yeah. So, yeah, doing the race. She does all right. 14 seconds. You know, it's not too bad. And then they go to Q's place. And he starts talking to her, and Ray's like, she's like, oh, Kazuki's like, Ray, you gotta help out or something. And Ray's like, oh, you gotta strengthen your legs to do the hamstrings, to do this, that, and the other. Like a real scientific answer to making Mirei go faster. I was like, oh, I can get down with that. That fits Ray's personality. Then so later that night, my boy Ray sneaks into the school. I'm like, what is Ray doing in the school? I'm like, my man's setting booby traps. I was like, I said, we'll find out later. And so Ray, the next morning, Ray is, he wants to help out Kazuki. He's fixing this big old elaborate lunch for the field day. And this is funny because, man, Kazuki ran up and was like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay, Ray? You got a fever? He's like, nope. He just wanted to help out.
He's really embracing Meaty.
Yeah, now he is. Yeah, he came into his little own. So then the field day starts. They're at the school. And the blanket looks like a battlefield. He staked out a whole area, did this, that, and the other. And it's like, man, I would not be... Would be not put off if the place they stood on actually blew up if you didn't step on it correctly. So then the moms, they start talking about how much they love them, and they're like, oh, you guys are cute. And it's like, oh yeah, Ray's like a mysterious assassin. And Kelsey's like, oh no, he's not an assassin. I think Ray the comedian, or he's the oil baron? I think he's the oil baron.
Yeah. In the, good question.
Yeah, I think he is. I'm not sure. Who knows? But he's one of the two. So that happens. He tries to play it, and my man Kazuki starts getting pictures, and Mary is a student announcer. And Kazuki, he cheers when he wasn't supposed to, which I was like, oh man, that's terrible.
Embarrassing dad moment. I love how, like, the English crew felt 8.5 wasn't worth translating.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
I was just like, oh. I was like, wait. When I first put it on, quick derail, I was like, why is this in Japanese? We're on like English episodes? I was like, can't be. There's still plenty of episodes. And I was like, 8.5? Oh, hell no.
I think that's what messed me up to when I was watching last week and I was like, oh, this episode's not available in English. Like, yeah, you watch it in this one. I was like, huh? No, okay. But yeah, I skipped it and went back to English. So anyhow, they start winning the tug of war. Their teacher was a beast, pulling the whole people. And Ray's rice balls, he ended up putting like gummy bears and gummy worms all into them and doing stuff. I'm like, man.
Giant ass kid.
Yeah. It has all of Mary's favorite things in there. And so we get to the racing part. And Mary's doing okay. And then my boy Ray shouts out, you could do it, Mary. And it just messes her all up. She's all overhyped and falls down. Now Ray's feeling bad.
Yo, the guilt trip.
Yeah. Feeling real bad. Oh. Yeah. Bad for my boy. And then they start the father-daughter parent race that they have to do. And they end up doing the race. They end up doing well. They end up falling. They get back up. And they have to do a scavenger hunt item in order to win the race. I'm like, oh, what's the item? They don't show you the item. And Mary runs over and picks up Ray. He's like, come on, Papa Ray. And so then she drags him to the finish line and they win the race. Didn't say how, but they win. And so like, apparently the item on the word written on the item that defined was family. And it touches Ray's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I gotta say, mm-hmm. like, I know since Ray's dad is who he is, we're gonna see Ray's dad more often. But I thought we'd see a lot more missions.
Yeah. It definitely, I thought it would be more like they would do some stuff and kill some folks and go out. And
yeah, been none of that. I thought it was gonna be like Spy Family, where like they kind of do half the episode centered around this and then the other half centered around that.
Yeah.
Not to say, guys, I'm like not enjoying Buddy Daddies. I'm enjoying Buddy Daddies for what it is. I just like the first episode brings expectations. Like, the same thing with Aristocrats. It brought expectations, and it's been, like, just cruising away from them.
Yeah.
But, go ahead, Herbie.
Yeah, so, so then they want to take a picture, like, Mirai, Ray, and Kazuki, but Kazuki's like, I don't know if we should take one. And he's like, come on, Papa, I really want to. And I was like, ooh. I don't know, that might have repercussions and ramifications, that picture. And then so, we flash back to Kiyu and the driver. It's like, don't forget the mission. And he has photos of the field day. I'm like, oh Lord, here we go. Are we going to see some killing? Who knows?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so. We'll see how that goes.
All righty. Deep Insanity, episode 2, take 2. Before I get into this, let me just say, I've noticed now that like I'm in the process of like publishing, even though it's taking absolutely forever, and part of that is my fault because I don't get to like the editing process on my end right away, but, you know, you make time for things you want to do, and I'm trying to squeeze it in where I can.
Oh, you ain't doing it well enough.
Hey, listen, I was writing that on a weekly basis, like one day a week. How dare you? But since doing, like, writing that, damn it, Irby. Since writing that, I feel like I'm a little more judgmental on things I noticed, and it's going to come up a little in this episode. So, like, Deep Insanity, episode 2, take 2, the crew was looking around for a Scarid, but it was underground, and the thing kind of, to me, looked like a mutated seahorse when it popped up. But, like, it was in the sand, so, like, I just started calling it a sand horse. Now you can do the crickets. No. This piece of shit. That actually kind of startled me a little bit. But... Oh, my God. I gotta figure out if we can get more sounds of that thing. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, just get Levi saying, give up on your dreams and die.
Yeah, you might be able to do that.
But Muchiki is tracking the creature by its heat signature and mentioned the spear on its tongue being possibly, most likely being the weak point. And then my man Shigure was, like, he was firing, but he missed, like, all his shots and scared it away. And, like, this really confused me because in the end of the last episode, he kind of went hard on that thing, that beast. Like, he was doing it for years after, like, coming down with no training. And then, like, the beginning of episode 2, he went to, like, acting like a rookie should be like. And I was just kind of confused with the consistency and the character development there. I was just like, does he know what he's doing? Does he not know what he's doing? But this episode, more or less, was highlighting Shigure's and Muchiki's relationship. I'm gonna call her Sumire, I think. I don't know which one would be easier. I'm kind of struggling with both of them, but the beast got away and Muchiki was reaming out Shigure, but Shigure did make a point, like, he's really had no training, and the beast was underground, so it's hard to, like, keep track of your sense of, like, keep your sense of direction where, like, you don't even know what direction the creature is coming from. And then I was just like, oh, this man is basically me. He's got no sense of direction. Or Zoro. Yeah, I guess Zoro. Less funny Zoro. But, and, like, he was having a point, but, like, again, to my earlier statement, like, that's the complete opposite of what you're doing the end of first episode. So, like, it's a little, on my part, a little lack of consistency with the character. But, after reaming out Shigure, Muchiki, like, stormed off, and Shigure was asking advice from Larry, and, like, Larry was basically asking Larry, like, what are you good at? And Larry said his specialty is brain chemistry, which I didn't really get at first. I was just like, what is it? Did you understand it? I didn't really understand what he meant by that.
Essentially, and when you do certain things in your brain, different areas get activated, and it different chemicals get released, this and the other. So I understood it.
Oh, okay.
Like, when you see something you like, your certain lobe lights up, and you're like, oh, you think that's cute, or you know, you like it, or whatever.
Hmm.
So,
and apparently my man Larry knows how to do operations, I guess brain operations. Kabuto wasn't willing to share what she was good at, so Shigure just ended up sulking on the roof, and then Leslie came to give him a pep talk, it seemed like, and just mentioned, like, Muchiki wanted to be a sleeper, but she wasn't compatible with the environment, and, like, she would basically end up being a Scarid if she went down there, which is, again, like, why I feel like if you have measures to prevent people from going in there and, like, transforming, you have other things they can do, why did the one person in the first episode transform? If you, like, I understand. Did he become less immune within between the time he took the test to the time that he went in?
The virus could have mutated and just got him at that point.
It could have. That's a possibility. But a virus that mutates, almost no one would be safe from it. I feel like. But I don't know. I don't know too much of the science and things like that. It was just things that, like, I thought of while I was watching. So Shigure went to Larry for analysis, but he basically ended up with the... They both decided that, like... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped something. Larry led Shigure to a closet and said, this is what you got to clean for the day. And it's like, yo, a whole day to clean a closet? It's kind of wild. But, in finding that, he found that, like, Muchiki used to be an idol, a pop idol, and he ended up bringing it up to her and said, like, something along the lines of, like, did you run away from that and, like, try to come here and things like that? And she got, like, really upset and, like, stormed off. He was really confused and went to Larry for an analysis, but, like, they ended up kind of just deciding that, like, maybe she just doesn't like him. And it was a touchy subject. And that was it from there. And he was trying to, like, figure out and, like, do this. And, like, a couple of the moments in between, you see, like, her, a little bit of her dark past. And it seems like she was being filmed, like, possibly naked. Against her, it could have been against her will, it could have been a thing she was set up, but she has a reason she doesn't want to be an idol, and it seems like it's a little dark. And Shigure is trying to, like, break through the wall without fully going into it and, like, letting, like, express, like, he's kind of sorry for the way she felt, but, like, it's okay. I believe giving her a pep talk and trying to make her feel better. And it kind of seems like this might end up being a love interest, but it's too early to tell. But either way, round two with the sand horse starts, and Machiki gets Shigure to just shoot bullets at the ground, and they come up with a plan to make Larry the bait, so Larry just starts running in the middle of the field, and the thing finally pops up. And with some teamwork and some finesse, they got in the position where Leslie can finish it off and cut the ball thingy on its tongue. And after the mission was complete, Machiki and Shigure made up. And Vera sends for Shigure to meet up with her. And at the end of the episode, she says she has a special mission for him. He can choose to not do it, but this could be what saves the world and help him on his quest to be a hero. And it's an assassination mission.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything worth mentioning?
Not really. Other than maybe he went to ask Larry, like, why she reacted the way she was. And he's like, dude, this is just basic psychology, man. So, but yeah. Nothing. And we find out her term is the sanity anchor.
Yeah, sanity anchor. I mean, we knew that in the first episode. I wrote it down.
You may have. Maybe I didn't.
My bad, dog. Oh, I took a better note than Erpay.
You may have. It won't I don't really be take many notes more, on your though.
Shows. I don't take what'd you say?
I said I already take notes. And that extensive on your shows.
I don't take any notes on your shows.
It's messed up.
I'm like, Herbie's got it.
Yeah.
The hell am I going to correct him on? I don't even take good notes on my own shit. The hell am I going to take?
Yeah, I like to put stuff I want to talk about on your slots. So
I feel like I'll just, like, anything I want to talk about in your shows, I'll remember. You know what I mean? Like,
you might not.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But shall we carry on? What should we talk about next?
We're going to do Aristocrat's Otherworldly Adventure, Serving Gods Who Went Too Far.
Let's do it.
Season 1, Episode 6, A Date with the Strongest Captain of the Night. So, boy, Kayan, he has to deliver some monster materials to the knight Dell. And it's like, oh, he's trying to be strong, but he's not really that strong. So yeah, wasn't the guy I'm thinking about. But yeah, so now he has to do mock battles and have to fight, and he pretty much disarms one knight pretty good, just knocks him out, like, phew, got him. And then Dell's like, oh, let's do 30 versus 1. So that's what I have to do. And they're getting ready to fight Kien.
Kien.
Hey. You good?
Give me one sec.
Oh, okay. Oh, enjoy music by Sinji, homies. Hey.
So, yeah, you just added that one on out.
Oh, my bad. I was beatboxing for the homies.
Nah, you go ahead. Just edit that.
Shit, if I remember. I think I had a huge edit to do one episode and I didn't even do it. I was like, oh, shit, I think I was supposed to edit something. Oh, well, my bad, Pete.
Yeah. So, all right. So, the mock battle starts. It's 30 versus 1. And this is when the knight captain shows up. And like, why y'all picking on this poor little child? He's like, oh, whatever, come here, and hugs him. And I'm like, oh, this is no ordinary child. This is the guy that saved the princesses from all the ogres. And now he's like, oh, I want to fight you for real. And so the fighting starts, and he has his wooden sword. He has a real one. And I'm like, how is he going to fight with a wooden sword? She has a real one, even though she dulled it down, she says. But I'm like, really? That wood sword should not still not have the what is it, dexterity or the durability to hold up to that.
Mm-hmm. And so he even made a complaint about it, but like he still like went crazy with it.
Yeah. And so then they fight, he ends up beating her, and she decides that he is gonna marry her. And we found out this is Tuwana von Liebert. And so she immediately gets the audience with the king to tell the king that they're gonna marry. And she's like, wait, he's already married, supposed to be marrying our daughters and this and the other. And then they're like, oh, he just does this. And like, she won't be dissuaded from marrying. It's like, oh, you gotta get a letter and do this, that. And I'm like, oh, man.
See, I'd be feeling bad for Kien because, like, they'd be putting him in this really, like, between a rock and a hard place decisions where, like, oh, why didn't you tell her you're engaged to my daughter? It's like, bitch, because it's supposed to be a secret.
Yeah.
You tell her.
Exactly. And it's just craziness. Yeah. So, back to the beginning, the knight Dell asks Kien, is he a hero? And Kien's like, no, I'm not a hero. I'm just Kien. I'm just me. And so the king was wondering, he's so strong. Like, how could he be a knight captain at his age? And so there's like, oh, there's a way to see if he is the actual hero. So they come up with this emperor level text because no one else can decipher it. And it turns out the reason no one else can decipher it is because it was written in Japanese. And the first emperor of the land was Japanese, a reincarnate, probably. I thought that was cool. They caught my man up, gave him the book to read. And he's like, oh,
it was a spell
I've never heard of. Yeah. And then so they were like, emperor level. And then they're like, tell us the truth, who you really are. And then so he tells him the truth, how he's reincarnated, came from a different land. And yeah, I thought it was smooth how the king was like, yeah, that's written in the language from a land called Japan. And he's like, oh yeah, it's Japanese. He caught him in a smooth. So, but yeah, he shows him his stats. He's God's chosen. And he's like, if you want it, everyone has to bow to you because you're that powerful. And then the king's like, you can be king if you want. I can make it happen. Which I thought was kind of funny. And then he's like, no, I just want to be me and continue things are, keep it all secret, da-da-da, la-di-da-di-da-di. And then Tawana storms in. She's like, oh, yeah, I got permission to marry him. And then end scene. So.
End scene. I'm yeah.
Now she got me.
Got me doing things I never do.
That's enough.
I've been canceled.
Yeah, no. No, infringements.
Fuck it!
Nope.
T-Pain, I just want you to know, when the crickets stop cricketing, that we can't afford to give you shit, dog.
Dang. But yeah, so keep on going.
Let's do. What are we doing now? Jujutsu.
Do some jujutsu, baby.
Let's fucking do it, bro. Gojo versus Sukuna, and they're going at it with the freaking domain expansions. And again, 5 minutes tie. They both cancel out, and then again expansion again. But ho ho ho! Surprise. Gojo was 0.01 second faster. Now, ordinarily, that wouldn't matter to a normal person, but it's Gojo. It's fucking Gojo, son. He had enough time to create his domain first and get that instant hit. So then once he got the hit right through the chest of Sukuna, Sukuna being surprised, he tried to go for the liver, the lungs, and try to make sure he was more dead than the way he was when he was in Yuji's body and had no heart. Which it ultimately would kill Megumi, I think. But we don't got time to worry about that. Sukuna is the best sorcerer there ever was in history. So Gojo goes for it again, but doom. Then Sukuna does the... What was the thing? What was it called? Do you remember what it's called?
It's called...
The Gaga...
The Virgin Sila Divine General... Mahagraga.
Yes, that. Sukuna does that. And then Gojo's like, fuck, he did that at this time? That's crazy. I gotta take it out in one hit. Surprise, the thing was already used to his cursed energy. Why? I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Sukuna finesse and stuff.
The domain, not the cursed energy.
Yes. But I would say why. Because it doesn't make sense. But Sukuna and Gojo have been doing shit that don't make sense the whole fight. So it is what it is. We're going to see next episode what Gojo does.
Yeah. So I was going to say, my boy Yuta notices that Gojo has a bloody nose. And I'm wondering, is that from his use of the barriers? Or did he get hit? I feel like it should have healed, but his nose is bleeding for some reason. Yeah,
it's probably mentally straining to do that.
Could be.
They were saying so. Like, all right. So it would almost be like you know how like they say like time is the thing that always moves forward, and like you know people who go back in time, it creates this butterfly effect and things like that. You know, right? You know what I mean? Because you did something unnatural, and up to this chapter or this fight. The most natural thing with cursed energy was you cannot change the properties of your domain and shit like that. But Sukuna and Gojo were doing unnatural things this entire fight. So maybe the bloody nose is like the starts of the effects of doing something that's unnatural to the world.
But is it unnatural to the world or is it something we just haven't seen before?
Hey, these chapters will tell.
Yeah, so, yeah, And it's, yeah, he did get 3 seconds or less to defeat Sukuna when he activates his barrier. And, yeah, he stabbed it through the heart, which the Maharaga might only activate it because maybe Megumi died when he got stabbed through. I don't know. Speculation there. And then 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the fight, the malevolent shrine collapsed. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
And so, that's why it took longer for him to put it back together when Gojo did his expansion.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was a good episode. Yeah.
I wish Chojin was as short as Jujutsu and it just released in a span of
weekly. I wish Jujutsu had more chapters or more pages.
Yeah, I like it. I want the reverse. Less.
Yeah.
Meet in the middle somewhere. Give me like 20. Give me like a smooth 20, 25.
30 would be okay.
I'm okay with 30 with Jujutsu. 30 with Chojin is probably too much for me.
Nah, 30 with Chojin be good enough.
Even with Dragon Ball and Boruto, it's like, oh, this is...
It's Boruto so... kind of flew by, though.
It did. It does. It did. But, like, Chojin's got, like, a Hunter thing going on right now where it's just a lot of talking. And not all of it's useful, but then again, I skimmed through it, so how would I know what's useful and what's not?
Exactly.
Yo, don't judge me. Talk about it.
No, you're supposed to talk about it.
I'm supposed to talk about Chojin?
Yeah, could I always do Jujutsu?
Nah, dog.
My guy?
Nah, dog. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
You could, you just chose not to.
Nah, you better go with that.
That's what I think. You gotta get on it, my guy. But yeah, so... Chojin Chapter 40, Tokio, Michael, they're dressed similarly, and they're dressed as like crooks or burglars, and my boy Michelangelo's there, he's dressed pretty fine in his dapper attire. They play rock, paper, scissors to change, see who changed outfits, but then the head guy's like, just give her both of y'all, get rid of y'all mustaches, you look weird. And I... thing here was notable was the name of the drugs. Mary Jane was the gyoza. Similes was chickens. Heroin was lemon. And opium was hamburger. And so then we learned an important distinction between their abilities. Telepathy is sending thoughts. Telepath is reading thoughts. I was like, oh. So Michael's a telepathic person. I was like, oh. Interesting. And then we get to the corpse lady from before. She's doing her test on the stuff. She got all 80 of the people she needed. And then we find out like 1 in 1,000 people can actually become a Chojin. And she has thoughts of, will this drug actually eradicate the human race and only exist Chojins in the world? And then Tokio and them are still in the place and they're trying to score some drugs, and then they finally do scoring, and they get attacked by the person, and my man Tokio stops a bullet with his hand. He's like, ah. And then he does like this little wing attack and just messes up the two dudes that were trying to get them. So yeah, and that was it.
That was it.
Yep. That was it.
My man Tokio looks like he's OP, but like they can't catch my interest enough to watch him be great.
Just because you don't care.
But.
You never care.
Boruto eventually catch my interest again when I was skimming through it, so I haven't lost hope. Next month, Boruto.
Time skip,
finally. I feel like once people saw that first episode after like a couple fights with like that didn't even really involve Boruto too much. That's all people really looked forward to.
Yeah.
It was just like pre time skip, just give me as much Naruto and Sasuke as you can. But really let's just get to the time skip.
Yeah.
But All right. Vinland Saga, Episode 2, Sword. We see guys walking in the water while Vikings were bathing. Apparently, they only bathe on Saturdays, and the English knew this about them. So they decided, we're going to attack them, and they did, and it killed everyone. They didn't spare any women, they didn't spare any, children. And then we zoom over, and the kids are over, or they're training or playing, or I don't know if that's how they play or whatnot, but it looks like they were playing, and a little girl was kind of ruthlessly killed by a kid named Schnorr. Like, she got somebody, and then, like, they just got her. I'm like, ooh, a little rough with that girl. Apparently, our boy Thorfinn always dies quick, but the other kid that was dead next to him, Faxi, always dies first. So Thorfinn and Faxi were just talking about Valhalla and, like, how you need to be a warrior to get into to die and get into Valhalla. So, like, they believe in stuff like that. Leif. So we find out Leif is going to Norway to trade goods, and then Leif believes in Jesus Christ and wants wine to celebrate him with his family. So I was thinking, since like he brought up Jesus, it had to be around April or December, right? Because those are the main two times of the year to like celebrate Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's either April or December, and I saw grass on the other place, so it might be April, but, like, are there areas, even when there's not winter, there's, like, it still looks, like, fine?
Yeah.
Like, I know we haven't had too many harsh winters lately, but it still gets cold, you know what I mean? It didn't look cold, so, like, I'm wondering, like, if it could be in December, still, like, I was like, when I saw the place, I was like, oh, it's definitely April, but I'm like, it could be December. Anyways, a warship was spotted in the shores, and Thors was trying to learn how to weld, I guess. He was trying to fix a pot, but like, he's too strong, so he didn't have the finesse that he needed to fix it. And when he thought he fixed it, he just put water in it and it was leaking again. Someone went to get Thors and tell him there's a warship on shore and it's the Jom's Vikings. And they dock their ship on the dock or whatever. And we find out it's Floki, the guy mentioned in the beginning of the first episode we never actually saw. My man looks like he came straight out of Tekken. I'm just putting it out there.
Did he though?
Nah, he didn't, but he looks like he could be related to Paul or something from Tekken.
Yeah.
So, Floki came to tell Thors about the English ambushing and the Vikings, and that King Swain's sister was one of the victims, so now it's going to be a war. And Floki seems excited, which I suppose is the true nature of Vikings, to, like, want to fight. But, we find that Thors was captain of the Jom's Vikings, and he was called Thors the Troll. And the leader of the Viking, King Swain, wanted Thors so bad that he was willing to overlook Thors abandoning them, because that's apparently what happened. He just decided he was tired of everything and he left. And Floki basically told him, like, hey, if you refuse, then I just want you to know it's on site. Like, I'm letting these guys loose. So really, he didn't give my man much of a choice.
It's either join or the village dies.
Yeah. So Thor's accepted unwillingly, and that's the point where we learn that he was just tired of the battlefield. And from what I got thinking, and it was like, from what I know about this show, it is a show about revenge, and it's Thorfinn's revenge, and there's about to be a war. So I'm thinking, and I'm coming up with theories. I'm like, King Swain's gonna betray Thor's when they're done with the war, and Thorfinn's gonna be seeking revenge against King Swain. That is my theory for now. Don't know if you had any input or you want me to just keep rolling.
Am I me?
Yes.
Nah, dog. You do your thing.
My thug thizzle. Thorfinn. They ended up playing again, and Thorfinn was like, "Yo, he was going crazy hard on those kids. Like, I'm talking like he was being brutal, and like he was pissed for like some reason, and like I don't really know why, but like he ended up, I think he broke a kid's arm, right?
Yeah. He broke a kid's arm.
He left a whole bunch of bruises and welts, and like all the kids were upset. They didn't even want to play with him anymore, and Thor's was like feeling some type of way, but the other dude was making light of it. I was like, he's just a kid, and kids must be kids, and he is your kid. He is your son, so like if he's doing that kind of damage, he's gonna be a strong guy.
Yeah, he was like, he's 6 years old, and he is doing that to kids twice as old as he is. And I'm like, yep.
There you go. So for whatever reason, Thorfinn is pissed. Like, he threw his wooden sword on the ground when he got home, and his sister was like, if you leave this here, I'm gonna throw it away. He's like, go ahead, I don't need it anymore. And my man was looking for a real weapon, and when he found it, he found a chest, and he opened it up, grabbed the sword, pulled it out, did the whole shing with the glowing, the brightness of the blade, and then my man Thor's came out of nowhere, just grabbed the blade. By the blade. He didn't even need to do all that. He just squeezed
it. That's why I was like, why did he do this?
So, yeah, he didn't even need to do all that. It was completely unnecessary. And he just kept squeezing it and bleeding. And he goes, like, why are you looking for a blade? Like, a blade is meant for killing enemies, and you don't have any enemies. And Thorfinn was like, it's gonna be war. Those guys are the enemy. It's like, it's not okay to hurt people. He's basically just telling them, like, hey, they haven't done anything to you to be your enemies, so you shouldn't want to hurt them. It's not okay to hurt people for the sake of hurting people. And Thorfinn, he's kind of acting like a Sasuke right now. He's just acting like a moody teen.
He didn't get it.
Little kid is six, you know what I mean? He just called Thor's a liar and ran off. And then in between that time, Leif, was talking to Thor's about like the sea being calm for sailing, and, Odin must be smiling upon them or something like that. And at that point I was a little confused, 'cause like, I don't know much about religion, but, like, I know, like, religion doesn't usually mix their gods. So, like, for Leif to, like, mention Jesus and then to later mention Odin, which is a Norse god, was a little confusing to me.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up, because I was like, isn't Leif, like, I thought he was a Viking. I was like, they don't believe that stuff. But, shoot, I was listening to somebody the other day, and they're talking about, like, paganism, like, because that's what they call them, like, the Danes and the pagans. Like, it's just because they're different beliefs in the gods.
Actually, I think Vikings do believe in Norse gods.
Yeah, I'm saying not like...
Oh, like in Jesus? God. Okay, yeah. That I didn't actually think about it until you mentioned it. I was like, actually, yeah, Vikings would be on the Norse side of, like, the gods, I guess, god aspect and crap like that. Well, yeah. Not crap. Sorry for anyone who actually believes in Norse gods and things like that. But I don't know. I was confused about that. I was like, you mentioned Odin, but like before he mentioned Christian, that's a little convoluted.
Yeah,
clash. So, we go over to the John's Vikings left Thor's to, like, get settled, and all the people are, like, preparing, and, like, Floki is with this other guy, and his guys out there are, like, throwing axes at a priest, and dude's like, don't move or I'm gonna kill you. It's like, if you honestly, you guys are gonna kill him anyway, so.
Yeah.
So Floki's talking to the dude, and it's like, oh, you guys are brutes. And I'm like, ah, let them enjoy it. And then, like, apparently their liquor is terrible. Their alcohol is terrible. Yeah. But
no class.
No class. And we end the episode with Floki telling the dude that he wants him to kill Doors. I'm like, damn, I knew it was coming, but, like, it was kind of quick.
I feel like they couldn't just let that man just live. Especially, I guess, too, because it's frowned upon for people to leave their regiment. Mm-hmm. So
it's abandonment. You know, Floki is going to be the bad guy in this situation, but, like, really, he's doing what needed to be done a while ago.
Yeah,
honestly, if you want to look at it from an outside perspective, Thor's was on borrowed time for as long as his oldest kid is.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, but I'm enjoying Vinland Saga so far. It does seem like it's on a steady pace and it's gonna build up. So I'm excited to see where the next episode goes.
Yeah, me too. Maybe. Who knows?
Anything else you'd like to mention, Urbe?
No, that's about it.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, you know what to do. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.